إن الحمد لله
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. طيب، أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى: ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. وقال: ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. وقال: آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل، ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. وقال: ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض، إن ذلك في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير. So again, beginning with the khutbah al-hajjah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we now move on to the next topic inshallah, and that is the topic of al-iman. So the whole seminar inshallah is about how to increase, or one of the keys to increasing our iman, Allah's names and attributes. So first of all, we need to know what is iman. What is iman? Allah says, and we mentioned this in the first lecture, and that is, well, whoever rejects iman, then fruitless. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Then fruitless and void are his deeds, his actions, and in the hereafter will be of the losers. So a person, if his action is to be accepted or acceptable, they have to be based upon iman. The primary condition for a person's actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's three conditions. Who can tell me the other two? Asif. Okay, it has to be in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. What's the proof of that? وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet gives you, whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it. And whatever he forbids you from, then leave it. In Surah Al-Mujadala. Likewise, Allah says, likewise, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. سورة الحشر سوري. نعم سورة الحشر. بعد سورة الحشر سورة المجادلة. وأخذ الله فيه أطيع الله أطيع الله وأطيع الرسول أو بيع الله أو بيع المسنجر. So the deeds, action, have to be done according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Looking from the other angle, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever introduces into this affair of ours, this religion of Islam, something that's not in it, then it will be rejected, marduda, rejected. So it shows that an action has to be based upon two things. One, or three things. The first, that you have to have iman. The second, that has to, that action has to be according to, in fact this is really the third condition. And that is that it has to be according to the sunnah of the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's the second condition that we missed out? No? Sincerity or purity of intention. And what's the proof of that? إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Indeed, all actions are but by intention. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in Sahih Hadith, وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. And everyone should have what he intends. What he intends. Showing the intention. The brother mentioned that at the beginning of the Sunnah. جزاه الله خير. So there are three things. Iman. Because why? Because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ. And whoever rejects Iman, then his deeds will be rendered null and void. Allah says this in Surah Ma'idah verse 5. Okay, so what is Iman? So we want to give a definition of what is Iman. And then, with that definition, we shall, inshallah, we will prove that definition from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And then, to show, or to prove our wajhud dilala. What's wajhud dilala? Who could tell me what is wajhud dilala? No one. Yes. Or our understanding. Since the morning I've thought of a better way of explaining, inshallah. The understanding of the ayah. Or the understanding of the proof. So we can prove this understanding is correct from these ayat. Everyone follows? Using the statements of the Salaf, of this Ummah, the predecessors of this Ummah, the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and the Atba'u Tabi'een, the first few generations of Islam. Is that clear? Okay. And then inshallah we'll talk about how Iman is related to Aqeedah. And what is Aqeedah as well. And then how the correct Aqeedah in general can increase our Iman. And specifically the topic in question, how the knowledge of Allah's names and attributes, or the Aqeedah, the correct Aqeedah, with regards to Allah's names and attributes can increase the Iman. No. This slide is the basis or the base of the definition of Iman. It's a skeleton. The definition of Iman. that iman consists of two components. Iman consists of two components: qawl wa amal, statement and action. Qawl wa amal, statement and action. Pass me the light. Okay, iman consists of statement and action. We'll explain all this further, inshallah. And statement can be broken down. Into further categories. Statement of the heart. And statement of the tongue. قَوْلُ الْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ. The statement of the heart and the tongue. Action can be broken down into عَمَلُ الْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْجَوَارِحِ. The action of the heart, the tongue and the limbs. We'll give proofs in a minute. This is just the definition, okay? So, what is the statement of the heart? The statement of the heart are the beliefs of the heart. A firm and unwavering belief that is open to no doubt in the eyes of its beholder. This is the statement of the heart. A firm and unwavering belief that's open to no doubt in the eyes of the beholder. That makes sense? Okay. So it's something, a statement that is attached to the heart. It's something that's attached to the heart. Like, for example, it's basically belief, okay? If you want to summarize it as is that clear? Okay, you can summarize that as belief. Okay, now the statement of the tongue. You got a cloth to wipe this. Is it? The statement of the tongue is stating that belief with your tongue. Okay? Statement of the heart is your belief, which is on in your heart. Okay, the statement of the heart is your belief. The things, the statements that are attached to your heart, that you have firm faith in them, or firm belief in them, there's no doubt in them. Yes? That's the statement of the heart. For example, belief in La ilaha illallah. Yes, belief in La ilaha illallah, that nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Belief in the angels. Belief in the books. Belief in the books. Belief in the last day, in the messengers, and Qadr and so on. Previously, this is all statements in the heart. And then you have statements of the tongue, which is stating these beliefs. Okay, stating these beliefs with the tongue, of course. So you say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. So far as you know. To say with your tongue, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I bear witness with my tongue that لا إله إلا الله, that nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Is that clear so far? And then we have action. Action with the heart. Such as love. Hope. Fear, reliance in Allah. These are actions of the heart. Can you see the difference between the statement of the heart and the action of the heart? What's the difference? I said, what's the difference between the statement of the heart and the action of the heart? Can you see a difference from what we just mentioned? Indeed? The statement of the heart is just statements or beliefs. I believe in this, I believe in this, I believe in this, I believe in this. The action of the heart are things that are related to worship. Things that can change. So in the belief, you either believe something or you don't. Binary, right? You either believe it or you don't. You either believe in Allah or you don't. You either believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or you don't. You believe in the angels or you don't. You believe in the last day or you don't. They're just beliefs. They can't go up and down. Yes? They can't go up and down. You just believe in them. But as for the actions of the heart, love. Who can say they love Allah? This is all with regards to Allah, okay? With respect to Allah. But also, for example, this is not strictly the case, but in this scenario, for example, loving those who Allah loves. So, it's indirectly related to Allah. Yeah. Okay, but as the hope, fear, yani reliance and so on, in the, and love in the absolute sense, it's all with respect to Allah alone. So, these actions of the heart, sometimes you love Allah more than another time. Sometimes you fear Allah more than another time, because you sin one day and you repent another day. Sometimes you have hope in Allah more. Sometimes you may not have that much hope. Sometimes you rely on Allah a lot. Sometimes you may not rely on Allah, and so on and so forth. Is that clear? Is that more to do with acts of worship? That change. actions of the tongue. Things like making dhikr with the tongue. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. These are actions of the tongue. Actions of the tongue. They're not just statements, they're actually actions. Giving da'wah. Calling people to Islam. Giving advice. Sincere advice. Known as nasiha. Seeking forgiveness with the tongue. Astaghfirullah. These are all actions of the tongue. They're acts of worship rather than just stating the beliefs. Actions of the limbs are quite clear. Things like fasting, praying, of course. Predominantly, this is on the limbs. Jihad, and so on. These are actions of the limbs, predominantly. Of course, the prayer can also be, or is also, an action of the tongue. How is that? How is the prayer, the salah, an action of the tongue? Because, exactly, because you're making all these adhkar, you're reciting Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Surah Fatiha, for example. These are actions of the tongue. Saying Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, you say Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, and so on. You're praising Allah, glorifying Him, you're making du'as in your salahs. These are actions of the tongue. Likewise, it has actions of the heart. How? The prayer. No, that's a statement. A statement of the heart. What the brother said was that it can be... Well, slight correction to what the brother said. It can be a statement, the prayer can also, or also contain, statement of the heart. And statement of the tongue. Because you're stating, for example, that Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. He's the most merciful. He's the bestower of mercy. You're stating this with your tongue. Okay, you're stating this with your tongue. You're believing this in your heart, so therefore it's a statement of the heart. Example of Hajj incorporates the whole of that as well. I'm going to ask brothers, inshallah, for examples, so be ready, yeah? In Hajj, how can Hajj, Nabil, how can Hajj display, or not display, but contain the statement of the heart, the belief? The foundation of going for Hajj, yani you believe the Hajj is one of the five pillars of Islam, for example. Or you believe, well, the fact that you are Muslim, that's why you're going for Hajj. You have to have some belief in Allah. You believe you are going to perform the pilgrimage which Allah has obligated upon you. It's a belief. Ahmed, how does Hajj incorporate the statement of the tongue? Sorry? Statement of the tongue. Stating your beliefs. Yes. Okay, for example, you could say with your tongue, yes, Hajj is from the five pillars of Islam. Any other examples, slightly direct, more direct? the intention that comes both in the action of the heart and the statement of the heart. It's an action of worship, action of the tongue in this case. Alright, okay, yeah, good. It's a statement, the hadith about when you actually intend, but you're doing it with your tongue. Okay? The Hajj, and this is one of the few acts of worship that is permissible to do, to make the intention on the tongue. And some scholars say it's not actually an intention, it's just stating the belief, like you just said. It's actually stating the tongue. Stating, sorry, with the tongue. Huh? Good. Any other examples? Okay. Action of the heart, Akhi. Yeah. The action of the limbs, yeah? Physically doing it. Okay. Action of the limbs. Action of the heart, Barakwa?
For
Hajj.
Yeah, for praying Hajj.
The
fear that you are doing.
Excellent. The fear when you're doing Hajj. For example, you fear Allah. You know, you see the greatness of Allah in this, you know, in Hajj. And those of you, subhanAllah, if you've been on Hajj, you see the amount of people there and you see the amount that's going on. You really realize the greatness of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So it may give you some fear of Allah. Or another example could be that you fear Allah, the fact that you're doing Hajj, because you don't want to be punished for neglecting an obligation of Allah. What else? Any other examples of actions of the heart? Reliance. For example, reliance on Allah, how does that relate to Hajj? You leave your families behind, perhaps, some of you. You may not even have enough money. And subhanAllah, I've heard some real stories in this regard. People go, start off on Hajj, they don't even know if they're going to get there because of the lack of resources or whatever that they're taking with them. Okay, not because they're not tying their camel, but because they don't have that, and they're just having reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hope in Allah, hope that you actually complete the Hajj and so on and so forth. Action of the tongue in Hajj, somebody mentioned it earlier. Of the tongue in Hajj? Good. When you're circumambulating the Kaaba, making tawaf, or between Safa and Marwa, which is Sa'i, then you're making these du'as or afkar, these supplications, and these words of remembrance of Allah. Yeah, these are statements, actions of the tongue, actions of the limb. Obvious, now who can ask? The brother over there. Your name? Uthman.
The actual
tawaf itself. You're actually walking around the Kaaba. Okay? So that in itself is an actual limb. Is everybody 100% clear on what each of these five components of Iman? The two components of statement of Iman, which is the heart and the tongue, and the two components of the action, meaning the heart, the tongue and the limbs. Is everybody clear? Are there any questions at this point with regards to that matter?
You said that actions of the heart go up and down,
whereas
the statement of the heart doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean things that
yaqeen
can go up and down?
No. We'll go into that inshallah later. Yaqeen, no doubt. Yaqeen meaning certainty. Some ulama have actually read, some ulama are saying the yaqeen is actually an action of the heart. It's an action of the heart. So yes, when it does go up and down, what the brother is asking is, I said that statements can't really go up and down. Okay? Because you either believe in something or you don't. Binary. But the actions will go up and down. So the brother said, how about yaqeen or certainty? Does that go up and down? Yes, of course. You have certain in something, more so when you have more knowledge of that thing. Okay? So you're more, for example, you know more about Allah's names and attributes. Okay? This gives you more certainty in Allah. Wa yaqeen in Allah. Why? You think, wow, that action happened because of this name of Allah. Allah has this characteristic or this attribute. And subhanAllah, look how it showed in this case. You know, you really got yaqeen. I mean, you only have to look around the trees, the mountains. Look how great they are. And you think, wow, if the mountains are so great, think how great Allah, tabarakat ta'ala, the one who created them, how great He must be. So yaqeen goes up and down, and some ulama have said that yaqeen itself is an action of the heart, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, so in summary to this point is this slide. Of the heart is a firm belief. The firm belief in your heart. It is basically the belief in Allah, His angels, and so on. Things like that. The tongue, the statement of the tongue, confirmation and expression of the beliefs in the heart. For example, the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Amantu billahi wa malaikati, and so on. I have believed in Allah, in the angels, and so on. Okay, these are confirmations and expressions of the beliefs in the heart, of the statement in the heart. The actions of the heart are things like love, hope, fear, and reliance, and so on, in Allah. You go up and down. The actions of the tongue, seeking forgiveness, remembrance of Allah, saying astaghfirullah, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Giving da'wah, oh brother, come, let us go and pray. Oh brother, let us go to the masjid. Oh brother, you know, oh sister, let us start wearing hijab. Oh brother, let us start growing a beard, and so on. These are all da'wah to the non-Muslims. Oh, you know, oh such and such. Have you not understood the fact that you must have either been created from nothing, or you created yourself, or something created you? You know? It all da'wah, all comes under da'wah. Giving sincere advice. Somebody comes to you, Akhi, I'm in this situation, what do you think I should do? So you give your sincere advice. These are all actions of the tongue. The actions of the limbs, salah, fasting, giving zakah, hajj, and jihad, and so on. So based upon that point, a crucial point that one has to note is the next part of the definition, which is the iman is statement and action. Statement of the heart and the tongue, and action of the heart, the tongue, and the limbs, and it increases with obedience of Allah, and decreases with disobedience. And some ulama like Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayh, he actually mentioned it beautifully in another way with the same meaning. He says, يَزِيدُ بِطَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَيَنْقُصْ بِطَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ, which means that iman increases with obedience of shaitan. That's why A'udhu Billah. It increases his obedience of Ar-Rahman. Okay, Allah is one of the names of Allah. It increases his obedience of Allah and it decreases with disobedience. Who can see that? Who can see that? That it increases with obedience of Ar-Rahman and it decreases with obedience of Ash-Shaytan. That was the definition, sorry, munching up a bit. Okay, so, an example of that. A person, he goes and he prays. If he prays sincerely and he makes jihad against his own self, he strives in order to get the full concentration and khushu in his salah. I will guarantee that that person at the end of the salah, his iman will be increased. If he's concentrating on the words of his salah, okay, so Allahu Akbar. Well, yani Allah is the greatest. He realizes the greatness of Allah. And then in Surah Fatiha, he mentions, he says, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of the worlds. He realizes the greatness. Look, Allah is Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. So at this point, he's feeling hope in Allah. Why? Because Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. So, oh Allah, show me mercy. Actually, with the heart. He says, Maliki Yawmiddin. His iman increases even more. Why? Because then he remembers the last day. And Allah is indeed Maliki Yawmiddin, the master of the last day, of the day of judgment. The day that your deen will be judged. So, increase your iman, will it not? You think about death. You think about that time when you'd be in front of Allah. Lord of the worlds, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. So you have hope. And master of the day of judgment. He's the master. Not you. You can't argue with Allah on that day. In fact, your own tongues, your own limbs will speak for or against you on that day. May Allah make us those, make our limbs speak for us in our favor. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You allow me worship, you allow me ask for help. So perhaps you're the imam reciting the Fatiha loudly. And until this point, perhaps riya entered into your salah. Riya, meaning you're doing, you're reciting, you're beautifying your voice so that people can listen and say, MashaAllah, how beautiful is the recitation of Abdullah. So at this point, he throws that ru'a out of his mind because he says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, O Allah, and you alone we ask for help. اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. He's constantly asking Allah, guide us to the straight path. The path of whom? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those who you have favored, the prophets, the martyrs, the truthful ones. And what are we missing out? What's the fourth one? Al-Anbiya, Al-Shuhada, Al-Sadiqun. What's the fourth one? Al-Awliya, the friends of Allah. Okay, so at this point, the part of those whom Allah has favored, غير المغضوب عليهم, not the part of those people who have Allah's anger over them. So you think, am I going to be of those who have Allah's anger over me? Huh? The fact that Allah Ta'ala, or look at the way that perhaps Allah has told me or obligated something for me or over me. Or He's prohibited me prohibited me from something. So I'm looking for loopholes in the law. So you start to fear Allah. When a darling, and not the path of those who've gone astray, and there are those who have the book in front of me. But I turn away from that book, I go astray from the book. So this increases your iman. Who can see that point now? Put your hands up if you can see that point. The prayer will increase your iman. MashaAllah, everyone. So the prayer will increase your iman. It is obedience of Allah. And likewise, all your acts of worship can increase your iman. When you go for Hajj, and you see all these people, all dressed, the men dressed in the same two garments, all saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here I am, O my Lord, here I am. And you see all these people glorifying Allah and praising Allah. Surely it increases your iman. When you make dua to Allah sincerely, and when you see that dua coming, or the reality of the answer of that dua in front of your own eyes, surely that will increase your iman in Allah. In the same way, when a person lies, even the disbelievers know this point, when a person lies, it leads him to other lies. He lies, and in order to keep that lie alive, he has to lie again. And again, and again, until he has no fear of lying. His iman goes down and down and down. When a person, first time he commits a certain sin, okay, any sin, and he knows that something is haram, zina, fornication, the taking of intoxicants. The first time he does it, he may feel scared. He may have fear of Allah. The second time, that fear is decreased. The third time, it decreased even more. Perhaps the fourth and fifth time, that fear is no longer there. You have no shame of that sin. Perhaps you start boasting about it. When you disobey Allah, your iman will decrease. So, many of us will stand up one day, or many times maybe, and ask ourselves, why is our iman so low today? Why is it that I cannot concentrate in my salah? Why is it that I cannot picture, or, you know, picture the reality of Islam on myself? Why is it that I can't worship Allah as though I see Him? So one might ask this question. The answer to that question, brothers and sisters in Islam, is in this part of the definition. If you want to increase your iman, increase yourself in obeying Allah. Increase yourself in the night prayer. Increase yourself in the day prayers. And in the nawafil, on top of the obligatory deeds. And you get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are engaging in sin, then no, wallahi, your iman will decrease. Your iman will decrease until, and we'll see some of the statements of the Salaf regarding this matter, in fact. So everybody can see the fact. The iman is statement and action. Okay? And it increases with obedience of Allah and it decreases with disobedience of Allah. What's the proof of this? A general proof would be a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawood, Ahmad ibn Majah and others, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that which means, or he said, الإيمان بضع وسبعين شعبة أو كما قال. The iman is or consists of 70 odd branches. 70 odd branches. Iman got 70 odd branches. The highest of which is to testify. Testification occurs on the tongue. What's your dilala, brothers? Okay, and sisters. So, it's a testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Statement of the tongue. And the lowest of which is to remove something harmful from the part, something from the limbs. And modesty, haya, min al-iman, is a part of iman. Haya, modesty, is the root of haya is in the heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you have iman consists of things from the heart, things from the tongue, and things from the limbs. You can all see this, understanding from this hadith. Allah says in the Quran, this is specific to the statement of the heart and tongue, when the hypocrites come to you, قالوا, they say, نَشْحَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ, we bear witness that you are definitely the Messenger of Allah. The hypocrites say this to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, Allah knows that you are indeed His Messenger, and Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are indeed liars. He knows this, and He bears witness that the hypocrites are indeed liars. Surah Munafiqun, number 63, verse 1. And then he says, in Surah Al-Imran, verse 167, they were that day nearer to disbelief than to iman, saying that with their mouth what was not in their hearts, and Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. How do these two verses of the Quran prove where is the wajh al-istidlal, wajh al-dilala, where is the understanding from these ayahs to prove that iman consists of statement of the heart and the tongue? Who can tell me? Ahmed? Good. Saying that with their mouths. Where is it? Saying that with their mouths, showing that they were saying something with their mouths, with their tongues, that which was not in their hearts. They tried to deceive the people. Okay? Because Allah says, and Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. So they tried to conceal this. They didn't really believe in what they were saying. Showing that to have iman, because he is saying nearer to disbelief than to iman, Allah is saying that they tried to deceive them by saying with their mouths. Because they know that the statement of the tongue is part of iman. Is that clear? Yeah? Okay. Now the statement of the heart, how can we prove these, how do these two ayahs prove that the statement of the heart is part of iman? Akhi over there. How can you prove from these ayahs, from these two verses of the Quran, that the statement of the heart is part of iman? Good. Saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And the fact that it wasn't in their hearts, Allah says, they were nearer to disbelief than having iman. Is that clear? Okay, good. Likewise over here, in this ayah, who can point out? What's the wajh al-dilala from this ayah, the understanding from this ayah? Hasib? Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are indeed liars. Exactly. Because what they're saying is not in their hearts. What they're saying is not in their hearts. And that's why they're hypocrites. Because they're lying. They're saying we bear witness with our hearts. They're saying with their tongues that we bear witness in our hearts, and we believe in our hearts, that you are indeed the messenger of Allah. Allah says He knows that you are indeed the messenger. And what He does, Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are liars. Why? Because they are bearing witness to something that we don't believe. That's why they're hypocrites. And hence they're liars. Like that. Action of the heart and the limbs. Earlier on we mentioned that prayer has the action of the heart, the tongue and the limbs. So if we prove that prayer is part of Iman, then we prove that the action of the heart, tongue and limbs are from Iman. Because Allah says, and never would Allah have caused you to lose your Iman. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 143. So As-Sam'ani, he mentioned, this was a scholar who died in the year 489 Hijrah, after the death of after the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what year are we in now? Who knows what year we are in Hijri? Yeah. 1420 years after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hijrah. So we're roughly 1,000 years after this scholar died. Just under 1,000 years after this scholar died, As-Sam'ani. And he said, his understanding of this ayah, he said, he mentioned this ayah, he said, and never would Allah have caused you to lose your Iman. He said, that is your prayer. He would never have caused you to lose your prayer. So Allah made the prayer Iman, and this is proof against the Murji'ah who hold that the prayer is not part of Iman. We'll learn a bit more about Murji'ah later on, inshallah. So he's saying the prayer, this is proof against those people who hold that the prayer is not part of Iman. Shows that his understanding from this ayah, the prayer is Iman, is part of Iman. Why was this verse revealed? The background, Asbabul Nuzul. Asbabul Nuzul, who knows what Asbabul Nuzul is? Akhi? Or reasons, causes. Causes for the revelations of ayat. So, before we understand any ayah of the Quran, we have to understand a number of things. And one of those things, this is from Ulum al-Quran, the sciences of Quran, one of the things we have to understand is why was this ayah revealed in the first place? There must have been a context. Remember, the Quran was revealed over 23 years. So why was this ayah revealed? What was the purpose behind this ayah being revealed? So the verse was revealed regarding those people who died before the direction for the prayer had been changed from Masjid al-Aqsa to the Kaaba. So what happened, as we know, in the early part of Islam, the Muslim, they had to face Jerusalem. And the Jews, they were really happy about this. They were gloating about this. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a lot of dua to Allah. Say, oh Allah, make our Qibla, or our direction for prayer, make it the same direction as the Ibrahim alayhi salam's direction, yani the Kaaba. Okay? So he wanted to move, he wanted Allah to make the Qibla, or the direction for prayer, the Kaaba, and not Bayt al-Maqdis, yani Masjid al-Aqsa. So when Allah ordered that the direction for prayer has been changed from Jerusalem to Mecca, to the Kaaba, then some of the Sahaba were a bit worried. How about the prayers of those people who had already died before this change had taken place? Were their prayers accepted or not? So then Allah revealed this ayah, and you can find its explanation in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. I think this has actually been translated in English, this particular volume. And never would Allah have caused you to lose your iman. And he says, what it really means is that Allah would never, as Sam'an said, have caused you to lose your prayers, yani the reward of your prayers. Is that clear? So you can see how we're understanding it. The way of the Salaf, the way they understood Islam. We can't just pick up the Quran and say, hey, I'm going to understand it the way I want to understand it. Not knowing why the ayah was revealed, not knowing what the Salaf understood this ayah to mean. Salaf being who? What's Salaf? Mention it 2 or 3 times now. Including Islam, the first few generations of Islam. The first few generations of Islam who understood Islam the best, in the best possible manner. Why? Because they were the ones who learned directly from the Prophet ﷺ, or they learned from the Sahaba, or they learned from the Tabi'un themselves. So they would obviously understand Islam better than us. They knew why the ayat of the Quran were revealed. Proof that iman increases and decreases from the Quran. The believers are none other than those whose hearts feel fear when Allah is mentioned. When his ayat are recited, they, the ayat, increase them in their iman, and only upon their Lord do they rely. So, there are two things that we can prove from this ayat. One, the fact that iman increases and decreases, or it changes. Okay, because Allah says, when Allah's verses of the Quran are recited, they increase them in their iman, showing that their iman can increase. Likewise, Allah shows that fear is part of iman. Why? Because when the ayat are mentioned, when Allah is mentioned, then the believers' hearts, they feel fear. So fear is part of iman. That's another proof, secondary kind of proof. In the second ayah, Allah says, those believers, unto whom the people, the hypocrites, they say, verily, the people, now meaning the pagans, have gathered against you a great army, so fear them. So the believers, okay, the hypocrites came up to the believers and they started saying, the pagan Arabs, or the pagans, they've come and they've got a great army waiting for you. So fear them. They're trying to instill fear in the hearts of the believers. What happened? Instead, it only increased them in iman. It only increased them in iman. Showing that iman can increase and decrease. No. We'll come to that point, inshallah. In the next slide, in fact. Now, we brought ayat from the Quran, we brought a hadith from Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I promised you, inshallah, that I will also bring statements from the Salaf to prove this wajh al-dilala, to prove this understanding from those ayat. So, Abdul Razak al-San'ani is a different, this is San'ani, not al-Sam'ani. He died 211 years after the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's almost 12 years ago. Over 1200 years ago, sorry. Over 1200 years ago. He said, I met 62 sheikhs, scholars. I met 62 of them. Amongst whom, and he mentioned a whole load of names. Amongst whom were Mu'mar, Al-Awza'i, very famous scholar, who died 157 after Hijra. Al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, who died 161 after Hijra. The reason I'm bringing death dates, why am I bringing death dates? Who can tell me? Inshallah, these people were from the Salaf, in the early generation of Islam. Because their understanding is the understanding we wish to take. Okay? And why is that? For example, there's an ayah of the Quran in which Allah says, and it is not, it is not sin upon you, la junah alayh. There is no sin upon you if you make kind of tawaf between Safa and Marwa. Inna Safa wal Marwa min shi'ar Allah. Man. So there's no sin upon you, upon him. If he makes, just paraphrasing the ayah, if he makes tawaf between the two, Safa and Marwa, the two mountains, Safa and Marwa. So Allah is saying there's no sin upon you if you do such a thing. So does that imply the obligation of making Safa and Marwa, making tawaf or going up and down from Safa and Marwa? No, it doesn't. In fact, it just says it's not a sin. It doesn't say it's an obligation. So based upon this, certain people, they started to say that our umrah and our hajj, they are valid if we don't make tawaf from Safa to Marwa. Why? And they brought this ayah of the Quran. They said, this ayah says, it's not a sin upon you. So if it's not a sin upon you, for example, you could say, you know, I'm driving a car. It's not a sin upon you. Okay, it doesn't actually oblige you to drive the car. It just says it's not a sin, you can do it if you want. This is their understanding of this ayah. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is Aisha? Who is Aisha, akhi? Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was told about this. She was furious. And she said the reason for this ayah's descent, the reason for the revelation of this particular ayah was the fact that at the time, when this ayah was revealed, there were two huge idols, or two idols, one on Safa and one on Marwa. Okay, so the companion, they thought, hold on, you know, wouldn't this be a sin, going up and down where there's between two idols? So they got worried, perhaps we're doing something that is a sin. So then Allah says in this ayah, it's not sin upon you to make tawaf between these two, Safa and Marwa. That is the understanding. Is that clear? The understanding is not that it's not obligatory. The understanding was, at the time, there were two idols there. So Sahaba felt a bit scared. You know, perhaps this might be, a little bit of shirk. You know, going between two idols. Allah says, no! It's as if to say He knows what's in your hearts at this point. Okay, so it's not a sin. Because you don't intend to do this. Is that clear? Good. So, based upon this, we understand the ayat of the Quran according to the Sahaba, according to the Tabi'un, according to the Atba' Tabi'in, and those who followed them in righteousness, the early Salaf of Islam. Okay, so these is, so I'm mentioning death dates. Sufyan al-Thawri died 161. So I met 62 sheikhs, Abdul Razak al-San'ani, who said, I met 62 sheikhs. Amongst them were Mu'mar al-Awza'i, Sufyan al-Thawri, Al-Walid ibn Muhammad al-Qurayshi, Yazid ibn al-Sa'id, Hamad bin Salama, Hamad bin Zayd, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Uyayna died 198 Hijr. Shu'ayb ibn Harb, Waqi' bin al-Jarrah, Malik ibn Anas. This is Malik ibn Anas. Imam Malik, he's the famous Imam Malik. Malik ibn Anas, Ibn Abi Layla, Ismail ibn Al-Yash, Al-Walid ibn Muslim, died 194. And those I have not named. So he's mentioned a few of the 62 sheikhs that he's met. Because of also those who haven't named. One of them said what? All of them saying Iman consists of statement or speech and action. It increases and it decreases. Iman consists of statement and action. It increases and it decreases. Is that clear? So who has now firm yaqeen in what I'm saying? Hands up. We brought you ayahs from the Quran. We brought you hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we brought you 62 sheikhs from the Salaf who have this understanding. According to Abu Razak al-San'ani, who himself was from the Salaf, as he died in 211 Hijra. This report is in Lalikai's Sharh Usul al-Iqtiqad al-Sunnah, which is a famous, heavily relied upon encyclopedia of the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are basically the people who follow the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih. And Al-Arikawi himself died in 418, so it's a classical book of Aqeedah. Concerning Iman increasing and decreasing. Some people will say Iman doesn't increase and it doesn't decrease. Amongst them were the Murjia and the Khawarij in various forms. Uqba ibn Alqama, he said, I asked Al-Awza'i, who died 157 after Hijrah, about Iman. Can it increase? He replied, yes. Until it becomes like the mountains, that's how much it can increase. I said, can it decrease? He said, yes, even until nothing remains of it. So Iman increases and it decreases. This is the understanding of the Salaf. Again, reported by Al-Alikai in Sharh Usul I'tiqad Ahl Sunnah. Some more statements. Perhaps everyone knows who Imam Ahmad was. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He died 241 after Hijrah. He said, 90 men from among the Tabi'in, the scholars of the Muslims, and of the Salaf. He himself is quoting the Salaf. Even though he himself is from the Salaf, he's quoting his own Salaf. Showing how he took the understanding of the Salaf. Even though he himself was of the Salaf, he took understanding of his Salaf, those who preceded him. So, 90 men from among the Tabi'in, who are the Tabi'in? The brother at the back. The Tabi'in. But they met the Sahaba. Yeah. The second generation of Islam. The first generation is the Sahaba, those who met. Rough definition could be those who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Even if it's for a few minutes. From the Sahaba. Those who didn't meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps he died and whatever, but they met the Sahaba. They were called the Tabi'un or the Tabi'in. The ones who followed the Sahaba, the next generation, the second generation of Islam. So 90 men from Nus, then, from the Tabi'in, and the scholars of the Muslims, and of the Salaf, and the jurists of the various cities, are in consensus, ijma', brothers, that the sunnah upon which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died upon is the iman. And one of the points he mentioned was, the iman consists of statement and action. It increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. Now, he's quoted an ijma' here. Ijma'. What's an ijma'? Akh Nabeel. You know? It's consensus. So what's the significance of an ijma', Arif? Right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will never unite on misguidance. They'll never be in consensus on misguidance. Likewise, he said, my ummah will only unite upon the haqq, or the truth. So if there's a consensus, and where Imam Ahmed is relaying a consensus, not just saying this is the correct belief, but he's saying this is the correct belief, and this is a consensus of this. It is actually a text. It is actually a source of the religion, ijma'. Just like the Qur'an is a source, because it's the words of Allah. The sunnah is a source. Why? Because Allah directs you to the sunnah. He says, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. In the same way, ijma' is a source of the religion. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the ummah unites, my ummah will never unite except on the haqq. So whatever they unite upon, whatever they have ijma' upon, is definitely the truth. And hence, he relayed a consensus. That's a discussion in itself. But no, whatever the case may be, he's relating a consensus from the Salaf. From the Salaf. Okay, so there's no doubt in that. As for later consensuses, there's a difference of opinion and so on. In the same way, when we study the issue of the aqidah of the Salaf, and we bring ijma's, then no one can turn around and say, yes, we differ with this. You can't, because there's no consensus on it. Okay, so how is aqidah and iman linked? How are they linked? So now we can see, can you all see this? The aqidah is actually the statement of the heart. It's the beliefs that are in the heart. Is that clear? Everybody can see that? Yeah? Who doesn't see that point? He doesn't understand. Everyone understands. Good. It's good. So, each statement of the heart is linked to the other components of Iman. So the statement in the heart that Allah Ta'ala has angels. It's a statement of the heart, it's a belief, right? That Allah has angels, and we have one angel on our right, one angel on our left, who's writing down everything we say. Who are writing down everything we are saying. Okay, this is a belief in the heart. Yes? Yeah? Come on, nod your heads. Or shake them. Good. So, that's a belief in the heart, a statement in the heart. To say it with the tongue, I believe, for example, like I just said, I believe that there are angels, and one angel is on my right, one angel is on my left. Statement with the tongue, stating that belief. Then the action of the heart, with regard to belief in the angels, who can put their hand up and tell me what kind of action, or some examples of actions of the heart, come or stem from the belief or the statement of the heart with regards to the point that I just mentioned, the angels and right and left, yes. Fear of Allah. You know that there's going to be, Allah's got witnesses all over us. They're writing down every statement that you say. So with that belief in mind, and true belief in that, is it possible that one could make statements of shirk and kufr? Because you know you're going to be judged. You have fear of Allah. Is it possible that a person can mock the religion of Islam? Is it possible? No. It's not possible. So you have fear of Allah. From that same statement of the heart, which you said on your tongue, which gave rise to an action of the heart. Repeat that again. The statement of the heart with regards to the angels. Allah had angels, two of them, and He placed two angels, one on our right and one on our left, writing down the statements that we're making and other things. That statement in the heart, you affirm that on your tongue, statement of the tongue. The action of the heart is fear of Allah. How can that statement of the heart also give you action of the tongue? Repentance. You say, Astaghfirullah. I seek forgiveness in Allah. Or, the opposite of that, you know those statements, the angels, they're writing down all those statements. So, you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, you speak good, you make nasiha, you give nasiha, advice, you will give da'wah, you call to Allah. Why? Because you know the angels are writing it down. Is that clear? Okay, you have to get used to not being on shaking, okay? So then I get an understanding of, or I know whether people are following, you know. Okay, how can I give you the action of the limbs? Good. The salam, that's a beautiful example, mashallah. The salam in your salah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One interpretation of the ulama is that this is done to the angels on your right and left. The action, or it's more of an action of the limbs, because you're actually turning your head. Any more actions of the limbs from that statement?
The salah itself.
Why? Okay, that's good. Any good deed. Why? Yeah, in the same way. Okay, mashallah. I was thinking of something, I just wanted it. Oh yeah, repentance. Okay, you know that Allah's written, or the angels have written down the last statement that you made, which maybe not be such a good statement. Why? Because Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah, and look how he put the word iman, mu'min. Whoever has iman in Allah and the last day, let him speak good and remain silent. He's connected iman with these actions. Okay, it's connected. There are many proofs, okay? But the point is here, is that a person, he just said something bad. So he performs Salatul Tawbah when no one's looking in the middle of the night. He gets up, performs wudu. Why? Because he knows the angels wrote down that statement. He fears Allah. He's already said Astaghfirullah, but now he wants to make Salatul Tawbah. Why? Because he knows the angel wrote that down. So he actually prays the Salatul Tawbah. Look how aqidah is linked to action, or statement is linked to iman as a whole. Is that clear? Good. Mashallah, it's better. Getting to nod. So, further examples. Aqidah in general. The belief in the hellfire gives you fear in the heart. And so, yes, and then it leads to repenting. The belief in the paradise gives you love and hope in the heart. And it goes on to make you do good deeds with your limbs. That was general aqidah. In the same way, specifically, Allah's names and attributes, the correct aqidah in Allah's names and attributes, the belief in the heart, the statement of the heart with regards to Allah's names and attributes. It increases your iman. How? Because the belief in Allah's mercy, Allah is ar-Rahman, He possesses Rahmah, as Allah says, Dhul-Rahmah, He Himself says by Himself, He possesses ar-Rahmah. هو الغفور ذو الرحمة He is the forgiving, possessing رحمة Allah says in the Quran So believe in Allah's mercy It gives you hope in the heart And it means you go and seek forgiveness on the tongue And perform Salat al-Tawbah as we mentioned Believe that Allah is Al-Aziz, the Mighty One Gives you fear in the heart You fear Allah Because you know He's mighty He can see you And the punishment is شديد العقاب Severe and punishment. He says, it gives you fear in your heart, and it makes you seek forgiveness on the tongue, and again performing Salat al-Tawbah. These are just examples. So with that, can everybody here understand that Allah, that Iman consists of statement and action? Yes? Good. Can everybody understand that Iman consists of statement of the tongue and the heart, an action of the heart, the tongue and the limbs. Good. And can everybody understand that Iman increases and it decreases. It increases with obedience to Allah and it decreases with disobedience of Allah. I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us of those who can perform a lot of good actions such that they increase our Iman. I ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to give us the correct Islamic aqidah in all matters such that can lead us to have good action and so that can lead us to having an increase in iman. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا